January 5th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to start from Psalm 40. A Psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth and praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. David was in trouble, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord helped him out of miry clay, muddy water, where he had no place to stand. And God placed David on a firm rock. You know, the rock could also signify the discipleship. And when I was talking to another Christian lately, he said he was leading a shaky life until he became 40-something. Then, when he started serving the Lord, he said he started walking on the firm rock. But when we first have to cry out to God to get His hand leading out of the life we have now. And when we cry out to people, we don't know if we can get the help. But when we cry out to God, He will surely hear us. The verse 4. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Here it says that God does not respect the proud, like the ones who tell others to follow him because his faith is stronger than others and such. And the Pope also saying that the Christ once ruled the church, and now Pope is ruling the church. It's such a prideful statement. The verse also says not to respect men who tell lies. I think there are many people like that. Usually when people tell you something really pleasing to your ears, they tend to be lies. Don't you think a doctrine of us being lifted up before the tribulation is a sweet story? Or isn't it sweet to hear that there is no hell? I mean, talking about troubleless life. And that's a lie. So God says not to respect those doctrine and preachers of those, but trust only the Lord. But if we follow the Lord, not people, we are blessed. That's why we are blessed with God's revelations. Next seminar we have, we will talk about Esther and the Great Tribulation. During the era of Esther and Mordecai, there was a decree that all Jewish people, all the people of Mordecai, to be destroyed, which I believe is a foreshadow of the Great Tribulation. But it resulted in their victory in the last minute, thanks to Esther and Mordecai. I also believe that this is a foreshadow of the day of Jesus' returning. I did not come up with this teaching. I sought the Lord for His message, and I believe I received what I need to share with others. So trusting the Lord is the most blessed way to live in this life and the next life. If we fear and choose what seems to be easy or natural to our physical eyes, your loss would be infinite. Verse 5, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. David says the Lord has His thoughts toward us, and He cares for us. Some may think that God is a stern God, and God actually cares for us. If you have never thought about God's heart toward us, that would be a problem. I do personally felt God's thoughts toward me in various points of my life. I am not saying this because I'm a pastor, but I honestly felt that. But I didn't know that at that time. Only now I see them. Now I can see them. But David knew God's heart towards his people, not just from one event or two, but he says, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted. If you cannot think of any single moment that you felt God's work in your life, I mean, that's a big problem. And when I was a kid, I could not see that. I would tell my school friends that I was a Christian because we are going to church, and But then I thought to myself that we were poor and didn't feel like we were especially blessed. But all those experiences were woven together with God's thoughts toward me, and I didn't even know it. And since we needed money, I started working when I was in junior high as a newspaper delivery boy, and so I learned to work at a young age. And my having gone to many different churches also was important for me to serve the Lord now. Those experiences at different churches taught me what is going on in each church so that I can warn others. The only thing I majored at school was English, and I'm grateful that I studied English then. When I was a student, I prayed to God and asked Him what to study, and I felt like God told me to study English. So now, I'm able to watch YouTube and I can understand what God is doing around the world. Even when you didn't think something was from God, you later find out that it was indeed from God. There are countless things like that. They say in a Japanese proverb that children do not know the parents' heart. The same thing is happening in a relationship between God and His children. Many of us don't know His heart. Another example from my life was, I used to have a Jehovah's Witness visiting me. That was before we moved to Hutu. I was trying to share the Christianity with him, and he was trying to share his belief with me. And after our conversation went on for about several months or so, he eventually stopped coming, probably thinking that I was an impossible case. I was also very disappointed that I could not lead him to Christ. But I learned so much from this experience, because that's how I learned how their Bible was slightly deviated from the original Bible, and how their deviated teaching was used to blind people. The experience really made me aware of the damages they can do from wrong translation and the wrong interpretation of the Bible, like NIV, the New International Version. When they created the NIV, they took out 60,000 words out of the King James Version. But that experience from dealing with the Jehovah's Witness taught me to pay attention to the Bible interpretation. I didn't think that at that time, but it was all for my benefit. So David saying, "And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. His thoughts toward us are countless. There are many things that God has done to even spare our lives. I usually take a walk on Saturday night to plan for Sunday preaching. I have my usual walking course, and there is this four-lane road that I need to cross. One evening, I was waiting for the light to change, and when the light turned green, I almost started walking, but something held me back for a split second. Then a large truck drove by and right in front of my eyes, ignoring the red light. If I had started walking, following the green light, I would have been killed. It was already dark and the driver didn't see me and no one witnessed the scene. And it was God's thought toward me. Some people might think that, oh, I was lucky, but it is all from God, and those things are countless, as David says. If you cannot see any of God's goodness toward us, you must be blinded by Satan. Satan tries to hide God's glory, but if you are with Christ, you should be able to see those things. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, Behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delighted to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. There is a reference in this part in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. This, he has taken away the first and then establishes the second, means that we do not offer sacrifices of animal anymore at church, because Jesus became the sacrifice for all of us. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily in an offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That's why we are cleansed without sacrificing animals. The Old Testament shows us the model that was about to take place and how we could be forgiven and cleansed. And after Christ, we have the law written in our heart by the Holy Spirit. This is so important to know this, because even if we become Christian, there are people who still follow the written law of the church or the doctrines. But God's law should be written in our heart, because the written law does not cover everything. That's why people start arguing that something is not written or something is written in the Bible. And if you need to go by the written rule, can we use a keyboard at a church for worship because it's not written in the Bible? I mean, that's why we have to go by the Holy Spirit. But some people cannot believe the work of the Holy Spirit, and they only rely on the written doctrines and rules. And unfortunately, that's what they do. And if you do that, you may be led astray from the true faith. So if you follow the Holy Spirit, He guides you in any situation. Like last year, when I was dealing with a printer for the book, I felt like I needed to be very firm with them. People say that you always have to be nice if you're a Christian. Of course, that is true. But I felt like I needed to be very firm for that particular situation. And I also felt that I needed to bring in the third person to smooth out the rough spot. And it worked out great when I did that. God gave me that idea. If you believe that God is working in you, you will hear His voice. And if you don't believe God is working in you, you tend to rely on the written rules. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Sometimes our sins would catch up with us. David asked for help, but he never lost hope. And we should never lose hope, because as we seek Him, He will release us from the trouble. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame, who say to me, Aha, aha. We all have people like that in our lives, but when we think about those people, think about what Paul says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So those who seek to destroy us is not only people, but evil spirits who are after those who seek God. As for David, he was surrounded by those people, but he is not the only one. We are also surrounded by those people or spirits. Certainly our lives are not to be the one with no enemy and no trouble. That's impossible. But rather, though the enemy might encamp around us, we would follow the narrow path to arrive to where the Lord wants us to go. That's how and why we seek the Lord. So do not think this story of David does not apply to you, or do not think that what Paul went through does not apply to you. Do not get too relaxed thinking that you have no enemy, and the attack will intensify as you draw closer to the promised life. That's why Jesus said, the path through life is narrow and only few will find it. The reason for that is because of the enemy. When you play soccer, you might think it's easy because the goal is very big and wide and not like a little hole for golf. But it is not easy to score a point because of the enemy. You have to know that there is enemy. Don't think that once you find a church, you're safe. Even inside of church, enemy tries to indoctrinate you with wrong teaching. Even great and famous teacher can be deceived. So we have to seek the Lord ourselves too. You cannot play soccer if you do not see well, or you cannot see opponents, or you cannot play. Or if you think that everyone is on your team, you still cannot play. You have to learn how to discern. Just like the proverb of a sower, some seeds fall on the ground and eaten by the birds. God is allowing that to happen, but we need to know how things work, and like you need to know the rule of soccer when you play it. We need to know how the spirit works and how the enemy works so that we can discern. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. I do believe that those who cry out to God always get help from Him. I didn't know many things before, but as I sought the Lord, He taught me about discipleship and teachings. But seeking Him is the most important thing to obtain needed help and to receive the light.